Blog Talk Radio.
They tryna turn Trenton into baby Flint. Been times by depression on the billboards ever since. 100 years ago we was lynched. Now they use germ warfare to kill us. I'm convinced, got the evidence. I look around and it's evident. They go down to City Hall and see so much negligence. Real art is intelligent. A true artist sends messages that speak to your intelligence. They fall and die so I can do my thing. Not to get drunk and high or join no gang. I will not let none of you die in vain. For my people I bang, bang, bang.
My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. I rep for you in everything I do. I rep for you in every place I go. I rep for you in everything I do. In every place I go.
They say post-traumatic slavery disorder's fake, but I just tell them all to wake up. Everything we went through, what a weight and a rape, bruh. It's in our genetic makeup. So I am my ancestors. From block to block, let's build like it's Tetris. We must unite, link up like a necklace. They fought and died and we disrespected. So I come to correct it. The legacy they left, I protected. We only think about self and neglected. You're African, but yet you rejected.
No, my ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain.
I rep for you in everything I do. I rep for you in every place I go. I rep for you in everything I do. In every place I go.
I do.
Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome to New Freedom Exchange, a cultural expression for social dignity and community empowerment, as well as development. I'm your host, Brother Dean, here with my co-host.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Marsha.
And we welcome you back to another edition of New Freedom Exchange. This week, we're talking about expectations versus reality in developing model communities. But before we do that, we'd like to welcome back our station, IWDM, Blog Talk Radio listening audience. We're happy to be here with you all on our Monday night shows at 7 p.m. We had a little delay. That's what happens when you're in motion a lot. But nonetheless, we're here, safe and sound and live. So, how you feeling?
I'm feeling well. In motion as well, juggling some things. My youngest daughter was able to go to the water park today. So she just got dropped off. She looked like they exhausted her, which is good.
She got burnt out, right? She was talking all that
definitely
stuff.
Definitely good for me.
Right.
Yeah. How are you guys doing over there?
Yeah, we good. We just got back in settling. And my youngest, they went to the beach yesterday and they left all their stuff over the uncle. It was a mess. So they took two cars and one person left this bag and that car. I'm like, come on, y'all ain't got that much stuff. Y'all ain't that big. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we doing good.
I was able to do something because this summer is definitely different for the children.
Yeah.
They can't do as much as they usually do. We usually take a vacation, so, you know, like a cruise or something. We're definitely not doing that right now, so.
Right.
At least you got something for the water park.
Yeah. Through the cruise.
I didn't hear you say it again.
I said that's what they call all this stuff started, through the cruise line.
Right, exactly. I remember here, one of the local ports in Bayonne, they had a ship docked there for, oh my gosh, maybe a week. and wouldn't let the people off because those were some of the first cases of the virus.
Yeah, that's what's up. So we I was thinking rather than jumping right in, I wanted to see if Salahuddin of 21st Century is ready. I'll let him lead us off, and then we'll go into our discussions. We're already halfway through normal, our halftime. So I'll see if he's available to come on. We'll start off with the Pioneer PowerPoint, and then we'll go into our discussion. Salahuddin, are you there?
I am here. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you?
I don't have a lot to say today, but what I have to say should be very meaningful. The point I wanted to bring out was you were speaking on friendships last week, and friendships are made from the first time that you meet a person, and then it either gets greater or it loses emphasis on the friendship. And that is just what it is. Friendships are based on trust. And so if you can trust somebody, and the more you trust them, the closer friendships that you have. And that friendship can grow into a relationship or whatever. Point being, if you call a person your friend, then you should have trust. And if you have a relationship, like a marriage or whatever you were speaking of previously, it has to be based on trust. And that is what it is. It's so easy to lose the trust of a person behind them breaking their word. And what may seem insignificant to you may be great to someone else. This book that I have for you has seemed to be very hard to you. Someone said that they were going to come by and pick it up, but evidently it hasn't happened. But that's primarily what I wanted to speak on today. It was just, you know, because friendships are very, see, if you're going to have a relationship, first you got to be a friend. And that's just what it is. You know, you don't, I don't know how to elaborate on that reality anymore. But trust is primary. And if you get out of it just what you put into it. And you were speaking on today about taking trips and stuff. Rahim Abdul Muhammad, the president of ITPIC, or the leader of ITPIC, I don't know what actual title he takes with that, but he used to take trips every year. Like one time he rented some buses and we all went out to see Malcolm's burial place. And I thought that was pretty significant. At the time, it didn't seem as great as it did after time had passed. But as far as a family venture, that was a great thing. And my Mujedid over there, he has some buses. Like, he should try to figure out, you know, you were talking about going swimming and different things. Those are beautiful things to take place. The children, once they do those things, they never forget them. They never, never forget them. I reach back into my memory, and I can remember things all the way back to when I was 4 or 5 years old. And that's a great thing. Like, I had a hero once. His name was Hopalong Cassidy, and I still watch some of his videos. And I went up to Pikes Peak to meet him because he was up there signing autographs and passing out fish hooks and autographs. And when I got up there, I saw in his eyes he didn't even like black people. I had won a pony in a parade dressed up like Hopalong Cassidy, and it was a very significant thing. And I never forgave my mother because she gave away my pony, but she didn't have any place to keep it, you know. But the thing was, I see what I saw in him, all the right things, you know. He honored women. He stood up for righteousness, goodness. And that's the reason the kids tend to... And he spoke to the children constantly about minding their parents and doing different things. But when I saw in his eyes that he really didn't even like me, it was very, very hurting. At that time, and when I think back on it now, it just, you know, it was really, really a deep situation. Okay, going the way of God, assalamu alaikum, and I hope this is a little bit that you can get, and Mujahideen.
Yes, sir.
Were you going to be able to get by and pick this envelope up?
I probably have to talk to you offline.
Okay. Give me a call. You know, my phone number doesn't change. Phones work two ways. I done call you about 7 times. Okay. God bless you. Go in the way of Iceland. Oh, and to you, Sister Marcia, I think you're doing a tremendous job. And You should try to get in touch with Ibtihaj Muhammad, you know, the fencing champion. And the gymnastics sister, she's our new Ali, and she's a Christian girl, but she stands up, she don't get caught in traps. They constantly be trying to set her up, and she don't fall into it. You know, she just does her work. And I think that's a great thing. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam.
Excellent. So before I let you go, Brother Salahuddin, since you threw a couple shots out there, let's get you.
he came for you.
He came. let's get your perspective on expectations and reality, because where I was going with this, this was a spinoff of our healthy relationships series, and one of the steps that came in on the marital relationships, it came in about a healthy relationships is where the expectations and the realities are respected and known, and they're not used against each other, and so forth and so on. So, in your experience, community development, because we're trying to tie it in with developing model communities, can you share from your experience in community development some things that you had expectations? Like, you shared a personal story with us with someone who you admired, and you had an expectation of meeting him, and you know, having that feeling that you had when, you know, you had him as a hero before you met him. But then there was the reality kicked in. So can you give us a community example of that? You know, either you had an expectation of... Okay, yes, sir.
I have one that we all can relate to. Imam Worthy Muhammad, his first wife, Shirley. The thing that drove them apart in the beginning, or separated them, wasn't a lack of trust. It was a lack of personal involvement. And after time had passed, they realized that actually what they had was real love. Now, this is something that we all should be able to relate to. I have pictures of Imam Warthy Muhammad at his wedding with Shirley, where Farrar was there. Oh, man, everybody was there. You would be surprised what there. You know, just everybody was there. And this was a marriage that you would have thought would have lasted forever. And in actuality, I think it did. But we are all human beings, and we experience different realities. And like I continually tell everybody, that if you live long enough, you start to see and understand many, many more things. And it's just a real reality. I don't know if that was a good example to use, but it's one that I have to keep in my mind, because he's a major hero. You know, I have certain du'as that I make during prayer. And my first du'a is for our prophet. May peace and blessings be upon it. The second major du'a that I do, I pray that Imam Warthy Muhammad has one of the highest stations in Jannah. And this isn't like just one prayer. This is every formal prayer that I make. I make us, you know, that particular focus. And that's something that I learned from an African brother. And he said, how many of us really make a dua for our prophet? And I thought about it. I said, well, I thought just praying was doing that, but it wasn't. You have to take an actual step towards that and enunciate it, because it amazes me to realize how many people that we have in our own environment that have different ideas about how they communicate with Allah. And it is what it is, you know. I mean, Allah understands everything, and he wants the best for all of us. But the reality of it is, he's, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very jealous and meaningful God, that he, you know, if you don't make it understood that this is what you want, well, you're not going to get something that you just have in your heart and you don't speak on it. And the way that you communicate with Allah, in my ideas, is through prayer. And I talk to him and he talked to me. Okay. Is that okay? Pretty good?
That's a start. That's a start. That's a good start. I just wanted to get your insight on it, and we'll unpack some of those things, and I'll try to bring you back on and get your commentary as well. So we thank our dear brother Pioneer Salahuddin of the 21st century.
Of the 21st century. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All right. All right. So that was we had a good rocky start on two ends, but nonetheless, we're still rolling. But I do want to tie in what he made a reference, because that's how we actually got to this discussion, right? We were talking about relationships, healthy relationships. We finished that series up with marital relationships, and we got into expectations and reality. So we could take that example he gave for community development, because as we know, the foundation of community life is family life, and family life is based upon marital relationships. And then as a result, family produces children, and you have a family unit. And so that is a good place to start. So if we can get some insight from our dear lady of wisdom to get us rolling, to connect what he was saying from his experience. He gave us a personal experience that he transitioned to a community experience, right, when the leader is married, and how, you know, that love and that love and appreciation exudes to all the members, And as he said, you would think it would last forever, but nothing lasts forever, as we know, as people of faith, except God and his authority. So, but right. though you have that expectation, the reality is obviously what happened. And so a
right.
foundational element that we want to address is family relationships or marital relationships in community development. What is the expectations? What is the reality?
Okay. So in terms of marital relationships, I'll say this. I have quite a bit of experience. I would say that, you know, expectations are a gift and a curse. And I say that because when you have expectations of someone, whether in a marital relationship or on the community front, gives you this sense of comfort, and it gives you this sense of having something to depend on and having something like an anchor, right? It's something that you're sure about, or at least you believe you're sure about it. And so you talked about that expectation versus reality. Sometimes when that reality meets, you know, comes head to head with the expectation and they aren't the same thing, it rocks your world, right? Because sometimes we put maybe a little bit more faith in some things than we possibly should. And on the other end of it, some of those things that we're meant to put faith in it. So you think about a marriage, like you're supposed to trust that your husband is going to be faithful and loving and kind and all those things. And you're supposed to trust that your wife is going to be those things as well. And all those other things that you trust that person for, you're supposed to. And sometimes when that friction comes in and you see something else, it's like, oh, wait, I was sure about this. And for some people, it really knocks them off their post, depending on what it is. And obviously, you know, there are some things that are very minute in terms of our expectations meeting that reality and not really getting what we thought we were supposed to have. Some things, it really just doesn't faze us and we keep it moving. And for other things that are much bigger and much more, I'll say, damaging, it really shakes some of our cores. And so I think we have to be careful in when we're going into our marriages to know that this marriage is not just for us, especially when we have children involved. It's not just for us. It's for the children. It's for the community, right? So Brother Salah Hussein just gave us an example of seeing that image in the community, maybe not necessarily your specific marriage, but seeing the imagery of a husband and a wife, a family, an African-American family, a Muslim African-American family, seeing that and having that give you hope for what's possible for you, what's possible, you know, for the community. Sometimes when those things, when the rubber meets the road and some of that falls apart, it kind of not only just breaks the specific union of that marriage, but maybe even the family and maybe some parts of the community. And so I think it's just important to be mindful of the impact of marriage, right? Because maybe as individuals, we'll do some things differently if we had those things in mind. And then, as you said, you know, there's a term to everything. And nothing's sure but Allah, you know. So what's going to be, you know, Allah says being it is, it's just going to be. But I feel like if we go into our situations and our marriages and our ties to the community with that perception that it's impacting not just us, we may stand a better chance. And then yesterday, so we interviewed Iman Rashad Abdul-Rahman from Atlanta, and we talked about expectations versus reality on a community level, right? So one of the things I remember saying yesterday was that I don't think we're all looking for the same thing. And that brings to mind this conversation we're having right now, because I think that's sort of the expectation and reality being in a duel, right? So if we're all not looking for the same thing, then obviously we're going to come up against a point where we're bumping heads. But if we start to look at those things as community property, so to speak, maybe we'll stand a better chance of having all of those relationships last.
And that's key, because that's what we want to formulate more than just communicate. So we're communicating about, we're sharing our ideas, our views, our opinions, but we also want to evolve it to it becoming a standard, it becoming a process, it becoming something that's tangible. So a culture, right? That's the whole thing about culture. Culture inculcates or incorporates expectations, limitations, you know, evaluate. All that thing is clocked into your culture. By us being a new people with a new culture, we are actually in that phase of developing the culture, independent, you know, because we come from different areas and we accept a faith, and then even that faith has a history. Our people have a history, right? So then we're all coming from those different places, right? But now we're coming to a common place, and then our intention, I know, as we were talking yesterday also about the importance of being in healthy competition, and not feel as though everybody has to support one person or one vision or one person's perspective, you know. So all those dynamics is what we're addressing here today.
Right.
As you were talking, I looked up a couple of things. One of them was actually, before I looked them up, when I shared with a brother earlier about what we were going to be talking about today, he said, don't forget that expectation is also part of reality, right? So I know we put it as expectation versus reality, but in reality, expectation is a part of reality. And so I really appreciate
that. I think that's part of what I was
saying
earlier, too, is that, like, you know, we're supposed to have certain expectations of people.
Right.
The marriage is set up that way. And that you're supposed to expect things. You have, like, we in Islam, we say, you know, you have rights over this person. Well, that's the same thing as you. There's a certain expectation that you should have of a person that you have a specific relationship with.
Right. And the term that he referenced me was, I didn't get to find his book, but inshallah next time, because we're going to do a part two. We might rock this series out for the rest of this month. So I'm going to try to find his book, but he said in his book, he broke down Surah Al-Asr, and most of us are commonly, it's a common known surah. It's one of the shorter surahs. And in Al-Asr, there's some exceptions, right? It talks about the reality of time and the pressure of time and the emphatic disposition that you're going to be in a state of loss. Like, that's just part of life, that you're going to be in a state of loss, confusion, struggle, discomfort. But then Allah gives us some exceptions. And we had Dr. Z on maybe a month or so ago, and we're looking to bring him back on, because he has a formula called the resiliency formula, where he breaks those down. But this brother also broke it down, and he pointed to the second half of those four. So you have the faith, you have the good deed, and then the last two. And he mainly specifically broke down the mutual, they normally translate it as the mutual teachings of truth, or the mutual working together in truth. But that term is haq, al-haq, the reality.
Okay.
And when I looked it up, there was so much. I said, well, let me slow it down. Let me just address a few of them. But you mentioned two of them already of the meanings, which is, like you said, there's a right that you have because of your commitment to another person, that you should expect to trust that would be honored, the union would be honored, you know, even though we have all these distractions and attacks on the family life, on the marriage life. So it's not a normal situation. That's something else we have to address. Like, we're not living in a normal cultural, normal environment. Like, we're living in an environment that has been influenced by the Satan. We're living in an environment that that has a constant attack on human innocence and human excellence. And so by us coming to that understanding, we have to also be realistic and create expectations and create the reality that protects us from those attacks. So right and reality, Al-Haq, right and reality. And then it took me right to a surah, which is named Al-Haq, Surah 69. And I'm going to just give these first three verses, and then I'll turn it back over. The first three verses actually is Al-Haq, and is translated as the reality, or the inevitable reality, or the ultimate true reality. Mal-Haq, what is that reality? And then it says, Wama adraka mal-Haq. What can make you know what it is, what this reality is? So, and I'm sure there's other connections. Again, we'll flesh it out. We'll develop it. But just tying it into what Salahuddin said and what you're saying, we could have a common foundation that expectations is a part of reality. And I think if we accept that premise, now we can really build up where we want to go.
Right, right. And then, you know, you just said something interesting when you first mentioned Surah Al-Asr. And you talked about the expectation that there will be loss. And when you said that, like, it really stuck out to me. And the reason it stuck out to me is because I think for a lot of us, and trust me, when I'm speaking, and trust me, I'm talking to myself first, because by no means do I have this thing figured out. But I think for a lot of us, we expect things to be smooth sailing, right? And so that's where the friction comes in between the expectation and reality, whether we're talking about a marriage, whether we're talking about community relations. I think that we expect, we have this sort of ideological pie in the sky concept of how things are supposed to be. And in none of those fantasies do we expect that there's going to be this loss or this sort of ebb and flow to the transactions, to the interpersonal relationships, to how we relate to each other. We don't expect that. And so because we don't expect that, we get disappointed. And when you mentioned Al-Asr, you talked about that expectation, surely there will be loss. It's just like, well, wow, like that's a part of the process.
Right.
And I've read that a million times. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And until you just said it right now, it was just like, oh, yeah, that's a part of the process. And so I think what we'll maybe start to dig into as we unpack relationships and continue down this road of sort of figuring them out, if there's such a
right.
thing, is that how do we have to then figure out what do we do when we get to that point of the loss or the friction or the expectation against reality, but really expectation is reality. What do we do when we get there? Because I don't know that we necessarily give people tools to maneuver when they reach that point. And that's why for a lot of people, when they reach that point, you know, either they separate, and I'm not just talking marriages, but friendships break up, communities break up, there's fighting amongst people or groups or whatever. It's because we get to that point and we don't know how to manage it. And even if we're managing it, maybe the solution is to then separate. But for a lot of us, we get to that point and our mismanagement of it makes the separation ugly. I hope I'm making sense.
No, right on, because that's
it's so clear for me, and I'm And as I'm speaking, I'm sort of unraveling it myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, wow, like I never really sat and considered that that's it.
Right.
And so you should expect to get to this rough point, and then you've got to have the tools to maneuver through it.
Right. So there's again, all this is impact. This thing right here is very, very. I didn't know it was gonna be this deep as I started doing some research on all this, because like they break it down. Like you have most terms, especially in English, and in all language really, you have terms that it could be used for science, it could be used for religion, it could be used. I mean, it has different connotations. Like they said expectation in music has a connotation. It changes slightly when you're talking about expectation in science, right? And then you're talking about expectation in math. And now we're talking about expectation in relationships in relation to community development. So all these components or shades of meanings should contribute to the efficiency of those who have that common agreement, right? And so as you said, as things are developing in our minds, as we are exploring this topic, or this theme, or this study, it should become more and more solidified as we come to common terms. But before we do, I want to do a station identification. This is station IWDM, Conversation with a Purpose. We are New Freedom Exchange, Oppression for Social Dignity and Community Empowerment, as well as Development, here hosted by myself, Brother Dean, Sister Marsha, and also our executive producer, Brother Bilal Hassan. And today we're talking about part one of expectations versus reality in developing model communities. And as we articulated, that expectations is part of reality. It has its place in reality. And it's a tool that is given to us for us to feel more connected as we go. So I did want to pull in this one thing before, again, we continue to grow in this discussion in reference to community development, right? So community development is one of my passions and my field of study and work and stuff like that. And one of the models, one of the models that I became fond of is asset-based community development. Asset-based community development is basically where you identify, there's actually a study as well, where you identify your situation, the environment that you're in, you identify it based on what you have, not what you don't have. You connect on what is strong, not what's wrong. So your whole reality, your whole perception is based on what you do have and what you can do, versus what you don't have and what you need. And that was attractive to me. And so we would like to try to integrate that model along with our expectations in reality for developing model communities, inshallah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, I didn't even know that how we were going with this, but, yeah, I feel like the rest of this month is it's definitely going to be a peel back.
Because we were trying to tie into, you know, New Africa August and all, building, planning our life for the future. So all these things, we made our intentions, Allah has given us these signs and indication, and we're following them, and we're just taking it in. You know.
Right. Even as you were talking before, you know, I've noted these conversations are important, and the reason I know they're important is because as you were talking a little while ago, like I feel like, you know, Allah inspired me, because I just thought about some instances where, so I just talked about that, having those expectations of just goodness and just smooth sailing, and then like as you were expounding on that, I feel like, you know, Allah showed me myself and how I have certain expectations that are similar to that, or that are direct examples of that. As you know, I am the principal of the Clan Muhammad School at Master Muhammad North. And one of the things I do very often, don't mind doing, is fighting for the school, fighting for what we have and what we want to become, you know, and sometimes, you know, I ain't nice about it.
Because
I want certain things for us as a community, and sometimes I don't feel like, you know, other people see what I see, and maybe they feel the same. I don't see what they see, and so for me that was an example of expectations versus reality in that community setting. You know, I'm like, what is the problem, and how come they, you know, how come it's got to be so difficult, and all of these things, and it's like, well, man, that's a part of the process, and I can recall on a few occasions just wanting to be like, you know what, okay, I'm done with this, I can't, just touch, you know, that kind of thing, and in that moment just a few minutes ago, I had that sort of alhamdulillah that I did not just walk away from it. And that moment, I didn't walk away from it because, you know, maybe I decided, you know what, I'm going to just chill right now. And after a while, sort of the passions or the fires or whatever they were, they sort of fired down. And then I was able to get a more peaceful state and think about things. But in this moment, it was more like, I'm glad I didn't walk away, because those moments are part of the process. And when you're in that difficult moment, you don't see it as being part of the process. But like I said, I sort of just had this epiphany as you were talking earlier, and you talked about expectations being the reality, and then you tied in our author and the fact that, you know, sort of that, and I'm paraphrasing, and I'm probably even changing the words, but they all mean the same thing.
No, yeah, I'm sure it's yours. It's yours now.
The ebb and flow being a part of, and you know I can go.
The
ebb and flow being part of the process. So, you know, you got to take the bitter with the sweet, the bitter with the bad, and keep it pushing for what it is that you believe in, what it is that you want, you know, community level, relationship level, interpersonal relationships in general, marriages, friendships, all of that.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. And that's the whole thing about this life that we've chosen consciously, as well as the life as a human being that's already clocked in us, right? We have that ability to do, like what you just said, like you could be struggling for something, you could have a goal, a vision, and then at your wit's end, right? At the end of wherever you thought it could be, then here comes the light. Here comes that push you were trying to get through. So that's excellent. That's excellent.
I want to give you some more tools, some more fuel,
because this asset-based community development, I'm going to send you this as well for us in the future to go over, but the typical, they attribute this model, this framework, this what they call place-based or community-based framework, to two professors, and they created an institute off of this whole logic, and they have three basic principles: that everyone has a gift, everyone has something to contribute, and everyone cares about something, and that passion is his or her motivation to act. And then they frame this whole thing around it. But before I go too much into that, what attracted me to it and just keeping me with this whole model and everything I do in any way is because I saw it in the Quran, I saw it in the life example of the Prophet, and I saw it in our leadership that Imam Muhammad has given to us, right? And so one of the references I'm going to give is the Quranic reference, is Surah 18, verse 83. I think it goes from 83 to 98. And this is one of the surahs that we normally read on Friday. before the Juma, talking about Zulkarnain, the one with two logics, or the one who can rule a balanced ruler. That's really basically what it means when you go through the story. In this story, talks about how Allah blessed him with strategies and authority and power to decide any way. So any situation, he has some insight on and how to get through it the best way. And so Allah me to connect between asset base, because that's the whole premise of the asset base, is that you have the assets. Like, if you respect that everybody has a gift and everybody has a vision, everybody has a passion, everybody has a reality that they're dealing with, and they have expect that in with other people, you will get the result and be that model community. So again, that's the whole goal of things that we're going to be talking about this month, and really for all of our shows, because that's our premise. It's just in a cultural expression way, but all of it is around building this quality of life, this better environment for us.
So I want to take thing. What you said. Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I want to take what you said just one step further. You just said, imagine that we respect the fact that everyone has a gift. I don't remember the others who had the gift, a place, like a job to do, right? Imagine that we respect that. I just want to take that one step further. Imagine that we all knew that we had a gift and a place and a job to do. Because I think that's also the disconnect, that we don't all know that we have that ourselves. And so whether I respect that other people have it or not, it's not an issue. But what I'm saying is the bigger issue may be that I may not know that I have a gift, a place, a job to do. And so imagine that we instill that in our babies and that they know that, you know, that that's the case for them, and that we continue to raise our communities with that concept of thinking, we may be in a better position.
Right. So let's claim that. We're claiming that everyone has a gift. Everyone has something to contribute. Everyone cares about something, and that passion is his or her motivation to act. Say, okay, I know that about someone or not, I know that I have it. And we're saying that we're promoting that all of you have it. No matter if someone acknowledges that, helps you with that, you know, takes away from that, you have it. And again, this goes back to these true realities that people in science and technology advance. It all comes back from creation. Allah clocked it in creation. So it takes time for it to evolve to where it is accessible, but it's already in creation. It's already there because we didn't create it. we're discovering it. You know, we're discovering it. So these we might be able to get through this. One, two, three. Yeah, okay. We'll just set up the framework. We basically gave the premise. So the attitude about asset ABCD, asset-based community development, we're tying that into the expectations and reality of our of developing model communities. So now we're setting our standard that we're acknowledging that we recognize that each of us have a gift, has something to contribute. Everyone cares about something, and that passion, or that interest, or that purpose that that person cares about, is their motivation to act. That's our baseline expectation for everyone in the reality that we're trying to develop, the culture, the language, the communication that we're conveying, and we respect that in ourselves, and we respect that in you.
Right, and you know what? For a long time, I'm just having all of these sort of moments right now, so just go with me.
Absolutely.
But for a long time, you know, I would say, so I'm a worker. I'm the type of person where, you know, you say something's not being done, and I'm just like, okay, give it to me, let's do it. you know. Mm-hmm. And I've been that way. I've always been that way. I've been that way before I was Muslim, because I was Muslim, right?
Yep, absolutely. You got it.
Exactly. And so, it just boggled my mind how, you know, the work is always done by the few. Right,
yeah.
And we all have that expectation that it's not going to be everyone. It's just going to be a few. But sometimes, you know, I would sort of battle with that. Like, you know, I'm sitting here with 10 and, you know, 20 projects or whatever it is, and I'm over exaggerating at the moment, and maybe not at the same time. But I'm sitting here with all these projects and things to do because I see the vision for what it is that we could have and be, and where we should go. And there's, you know, 100 people in the room. And so, mm-hmm. why am I carrying this big weight when there's so many people around? And just now, I kind of had the moment of, what if they don't know? What if they don't know what we just claimed just now? What if that's
mm-hmm.
something that they don't know? What if they don't know that they have what they have, and that's why they don't act?
Right. And most likely,
yeah.
98% of the time, you're right. That is actually the case, that people just don't know. They assume based upon, I guess, the communication that of the invitation. And that's really interesting, right? Because based upon the invitation is really how you get the appreciation. Like, depending on how you receive the invitation to a party, it's most likely how you're going to appreciate, you know, if you decide to go to a party, like, or whatever it is. Like, you know, when you go into school, like you know, if you're in sports and, you know, a team, you know, and they give you like this grand invitation, most likely you're going to have this grand expectation and appreciation, you know? So it's definitely all connected. Definitely all connected. I want to give these before we leave. I know we're at the hour mark. We did start a little late. So if you have a little few more minutes, we'll continue. Want to go over. Okay, so there are the traditional versus this new model or this inclusive model that I'm calling inclusive because there are still other models. We'll take a show just to, it's about four or five other models, but I'm kind of stuck on this. I have so much proof to be stuck on this one right now. But anyway, so the traditional development model, or the typical development model, focuses on community deficiencies, whereas this development model focuses on community assets. The typical traditional development model focuses on problems, response, technical solutions. This model, opportunity identification, assets are a springboard. Traditional or typical focuses on charity and favor orientation, whereas this model is based on investment and rights orientation. Experts provide solutions in one-way exchange. This model, we're connecting to our expectation and our reality for community development excellence or developing model communities. Solutions are devised in mutual exchange, as we've been trying to articulate in our show, in our programming, with local ally. Grants to agencies, government overseas, whereas in this situation, grants, investments, volunteer support to associations. Services needed determined outside community. This model, services needed determined inside community. The typical development model, this one has high emphasis on community roles. People as the beneficiaries, this new model or this chosen model, is people as citizens, co-creators, in control, right? And that's a whole, you could stop me at any time, but this one right here just made me want to stop because that's a whole different type of attitude as well, right? When someone is...
You kind of caught me on that one, too. You definitely caught me on that one, too, because I'm just like, you know, that's sort of that whole, you know, welfare model versus do for self. That's really what that is. And we've come to a point, I think, for African American people, for people, impoverished people, I think we've come to that point of we have something to contribute to, and so that's really when we talk about New Freedom Exchange and the platforms where we sort of give a voice to that marginalized people, or you know, it's that right there, right? Like we mm-hmm. we have a voice, we can contribute, we have gifts, we have talents, we can do what mainstream media puts out there that we're not doing or we can't do. No, we have it and we've been doing it. And and it's not just those of us who are out in the forefront. And while we appreciate those people because they are the ones who, you know, sort of hold the line for many of us, there's a bunch of people behind, you know, Imam W.Z. Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X and Garvey. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a bunch of us behind them that have that, what they had too. You know, exactly. We may not be the one. Well, I got my air cool. The one. We may not be the one out in the forefront, but trust and believe that that spirit lives in us, and those talents trickle down to us. So it's not dead. It's in us. And that whole concept of sort of picking up the torch and going with it, I feel like we're doing that a lot more now, and I feel hopeful about it.
You're going to really love these last four because it's really, I'm telling you, it really just tied in everything you just said, right? Because,
wow,
like you're talking about that, most people will call it the Superman, the miracle, the Christ, the this, the that, but really it's the, it's,
right.
And the brother who told me that we have to also remember that expectation is a part of reality. He also ended the conversation by saying the real hero and the real Superman is the human. Like you just said, what we have in common that we all have, even though we might not all get the same attention, the same limelight, the shine, and everything
right.
like that. Right.
Right.
So let me knock these last four out. So the typical development model aim is to fix people versus this model aim is to develop potential in people, which you just,
man,
which you just said.
I love that. I love that.
Oh man, the next one is
the root
concern is developing territories and the risks are down, whereas in this new model the root concern is developing people and the potential is up. Number the last two are programs as the answer, whereas in this new model that we're choosing, people are the answer. And then lastly, the main concern at project conclusion is the maintenance, whereas in this new model, the main concern at project conclusion is what's next.
Okay. Yeah, those are great. Those are, like, awesome. The first one stood out to me. The first of that, the last four stood out to me
mm-hmm.
just because I think, you know, I definitely have a little bit of that in me where it's just like, you know, instead of me showing you how to do it, just let me do it. And so I have to stop myself from time to time. And I noticed that my oldest daughter does it too. And I'm just like, you know, if the youngest asks for something and she's just like, here, you know, give it here, I'll do it for you. And I'm like, no, why can't you just explain it to her? And I'm like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
She kind of got it, honestly. She might have got that from my mama. But we are work in progress. But that one stood out to me because that's really empowerment. That's, in a nutshell, that's what that is, empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to try to fix me. Just give me the tools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just give me the tools and let me fix myself. Because guess what? I'm going to feel better about being fixed if I had a part to play in it.
Yep.
If I felt like you just sort of manufactured it for me, I may not appreciate it, and I may stay broken much longer.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, well, that, that's...
I told you the wise lady come out sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the way to that's the way to, that's the way to end the program tonight. We definitely going to do a part two. For those of you who are following us on our other platforms, on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, we also have launched a daily digital platform on patreon.com/NFX Daily. So a lot of this content that we're covering, we're going to start putting it on that platform for you to see the next level of these things. Right here, we're just expressing it. We're getting it out. We're sharing our perception of it. But we really want to go in deeper on our platform. And we'll have those tools available, as Sister Marcia just said. It's better to give you the tools so you can have a role in your development and your restoration and your advancement than just make you do it the way we think you should do it. So no better way to end it on that note. Any closing remarks?
No. I encourage you all to be your best selves and to, you know, rock this thing out the only way that you can, and to let your light shine, and know that we all are part of this thing being great.
Excellent. So until next time, we greet you as we came. We do have a few callers online. Let me check the callers real quick. I didn't notice we had quite a few callers. If you're on the line and you have a question or a comment, you're welcome to press 1 on your phone and we'll bring you in. If you are online, you can call in directly, 14-816-4673, and press 1. So if you're on internet, a lot of people, we know you all listening by way of the internet, we'd love to hear from you. You can call in directly at 714-816-4673 and just press 1. If you're in the queue, I see a few of you are in the queue online. If you have a question or a comment, you're welcome to press 1. No pressure. But until next time, I don't see any movement. This is New Freedom Exchange. I'm your host, Brother Dean. I'm here with my co-host,
Sister Marcia.
And we are out of here.
Assalamu alaikum, guys.
They're trying to turn Trenton into baby Flint. Wow. Been times by depression on the billboards ever since. 100 years ago, we was lynched. Now they use germ warfare to kill us. I'm convinced, got the evidence. I look around and it's evident. They go down to City Hall and see so much negligence. Real art is intelligent. A true artist sends messages that speak to your intelligence. They fall and die so I can do my thing. Not to get drunk and high or join no gang. I will not let none of you die in vain. For my people, I bang, bang, bang. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. I rep for you in everything I do. I rep for you in every place I go. I rep for you in everything I do. In every place I go. They say post-traumatic slavery disorder's fake, but I just tell them all to wake up. Everything we went through, what a way down a rape, bruh. It's in our genetic makeup. So I am my ancestors. From block to block, let's build like it's Tetris. We must unite, link up like a necklace. They fought and died and we disrespected. So I come to correct it. The legacy they left, I protected. We only think about self and neglected. You're African, but yet you rejected. No. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. My ancestors been through so much pain. I don't let them die in vain. I rep for you in everything I do. I rep for you in every place I go. I rep for you in everything